A week on from the ousting of Kevin Rudd, the assessments of his legacy are just beginning, really. One portfolio where the former foreign affairs official was never expected to have any trouble was international relations. But it wasn't all smooth sailing for Prime Minister Rudd. How will foreign policy change now that the country has a new Prime Minister without a long or deep foreign policy background? Michael Fullilove is Programme Director for Global Issues at the Lowy Institute. I asked him about whether the change meant, in effect, that Stephen Smith had now, for the first time, become Foreign Minister in his own right.
I think that Julia Gillard has indicated that she trusts Stephen Smith, that's for sure, by handing him trade as well as foreign affairs. I don't think we know. I think these are transitional arrangements. We don't know what the long-term ramifications are likely to be. But I think the overall message is that we are probably in future likely to have a more normal relationship between the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister than has obtained over the last couple of years.
So it is the case that Stephen Smith has almost been working like a sort of permanent secretary to Kevin Rudd's foreign minister.
I wouldn't put it that way, but I would say that Prime Minister Rudd played too dominant a role in foreign policy making. I think that gummed up the works. It undercut the authority of some of the officials who worked for him. I think we should also recognise, because we're all talking about Rudd's sins and frailties now, that over-ambition and that over-dominance of the process was the flip side of his many positive qualities, his energy, his ambition, his enormous knowledge about foreign policy.
But did his famous micromanaging style extend into foreign affairs as well?
It did.
It was clogging things up.
Yeah, you've got lots of reports about ambassadorial appointments being slowed and so on.
And what about major policy issues as well?
Well, look, I think it's a balance. On the one hand, you had, in Prime Minister Rudd, you had someone who from day one was an assured foreign policy maker. In marked contrast, for example, to Prime Minister Howard, who took several years to get over the kinks, who had all sorts of problems, who could barely get an appointment with President Clinton, who had problems with the Chinese, with developing countries, with a lot of areas of his foreign policy. You had somebody who from day one was assured, was ambitious, was determined to build a broad network of leaders, to work with them, to get involved in climate change negotiations, GFC negotiations, and so on. But the flip side of that was that he was so involved that I think the people who worked for him became over-reliant on his judgments. And when those judgments took a while to reach, I think the whole process slowed down.
President Obama, for instance, was quite effusive about Kevin Rudd when he was interviewed by Kerry O'Brien earlier this year. Was there a genuine friendship there?
I think there was. I think it was an unlikely friendship because they are different people. And it was also unlikely because Obama is notorious for keeping heads of government one step removed. It's very hard to work out which international leaders he's actually close to. So Kevin Rudd, I think, made a very short list. I think Labour prime ministers always need to project themselves as reliable allies. They need to build close relationships with the incumbent president. But at the same time, because they're Labour prime ministers, they need to also telegraph their independence as a country. They need to show they're not too slavish. And the way Kevin Rudd did that was through ideas and through trying to influence Obama on many issues. One of them, for example, was the designation of the G20 as the leading global forum for international economic cooperation. To my mind, he played a large role, or a significant role anyway, in influencing Obama in that direction, and that is a gift that Rudd gives to Julia Gillard and to his successors as Prime Minister. Membership of the G20 as the leading body, I think, really gives us a say and squeezes us into the world's inner councils.
What about China and India, though? We're hearing reports, for instance, that the Chinese thought that Kevin Rudd was two-faced. What was that all about?
Well, I think that the China relationship was bedeviled by high expectations. I think many people thought that because of Rudd's language skills, because of his unusual familiarity with the country, I think many people, perhaps including he himself, thought that there was a sort of a level of harmony that could be attained that in the end proved to be illusory. Whether you can blame Rudd for that, I'm not clear on. It seems to me that if you go through the problems in the bilateral relationship, the Stern Hu, the Rabia Kadir imbroglio, most of these problems came from the Chinese side of the fence. And the evidence I would give for that is that similar frictions and problems bedeviled China's bilateral relations over the last 2 years with many capitals around the world. We know they've had up and down relationships with Washington. They've had problems with some Asian capitals, with Europeans, even with Moscow. So I think you couldn't put China relations as a big win for Rudd.
And what about India, which is the other big rising power?
I think India is an undeveloped relationship, and it was underdeveloped during Rudd's premiership. I think one of the problems from the Indian perspective there is the refusal of the Australian government to sell uranium to India. And I think also they had a view that in the long term proved not to be true, that Rudd was too pro-Beijing. So I think this will be one of the challenges, I think, for Prime Minister Gillard.
What do we know about Prime Minister Gillard in foreign affairs terms? She seems almost a blank slate in terms of what the public knows.
We don't know too much, but then again, most prime ministers come to the job with very little direct foreign policy experience. We know that she's had representational duties overseas as deputy prime minister. We know that she has set out to locate herself in the mainstream of Australian politics and the Australian diplomatic tradition with her visits to the United States and Israel. I would say that for the most important theme would be continuity. I think to some extent, because Australia's interests are constant, but also because this is still a Labor government, I think the foreign policy template has been set, but I think there will be important differences. I think stylistically, she's a different person. I think she'll be superb at some of the personal diplomacy that's required in the global system. I think she will probably take the opportunity to slough off one or two of Prime Minister Rudd's less successful foreign policy initiatives. I think the Asia-Pacific community myself is at risk of being dropped. I think she will try to identify what are the one or two themes in foreign policy that she wants to make her signature. I don't think she will be as busy as Rudd. I think she will focus on domestic policy, but she will want to make a splash on foreign policy by nominating one or two themes and really honing in on those.
Michael Fullilove, who's the Program Director for Global Issues at the Lowy Institute in Sydney.